Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Johnny C. Taylor Jr. is the author of The Trouble with HR, An Insider's Guide to Finding and Keeping the Best People, published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. He's the first African-American chairman of the Society for Human Resource Management, SHRM, and he recently served as CEO of Rushmore Drive, an IAC, Interactive Corporation Internet business. He is a keynote speaker on human resource and leadership issues around the world. He has held senior legal and HR executive roles with many companies, including Blockbuster, Paramount Pictures, and Alamo Rent-A-Car. Johnny, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you for having me here.
To begin with, as we head into an economic recovery, organizations will need to think strategically about new hires and the development of their employees within the organization. Now, what are some challenges human resource officers and managers will be facing?
The biggest challenge is the challenge they're experiencing right now. When the economy truly does recover, all of the employers will be running around trying to find talent, and we'll be back in what we call that war for talent again. The biggest challenge for the HR practitioner right now is to go to right-thinking companies and convince them that even in the middle of this really tough economic drought we're experiencing, this is the time to invest in the people identification, people development. Waiting until a year or two from now, when the economy is robust again, puts the company behind the eight ball.
So you have to anticipate.
That's right. It's labor planning. There's so many things in the human resources discipline that, frankly, HR people and definitely business people don't realize.
Right.
These things don't just turn on. They don't happen overnight. So you have to respond in advance as well. So that's the challenge.
Do you see that as a more strategic role for HR? What are your thoughts on that?
Too often we play with the word strategy.
Right.
Well, the reality is we have to focus on the tactical, and that is identification of talent and developing that talent, putting together initiatives that make sure they're there 3 years from now when this market rebounds. I was just reading something the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They were discussing the companies who don't invest now, and I can tell you just 2-3 years ago when we had unemployment in the 2-3% range, companies were paying ridiculously for talent. They had significantly high turnover. And those companies that had invested in advance and identified the best people, put them in strong development programs.
For instance?
For example, the person was now in the first year of an MBA program at Harvard that their employer paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be basically assured that star would be with you while they were completing their program.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a 3-year period during which they'd have to pay you back if they left. So it essentially gave you some of the retention that you needed.
Sure.
The smart companies invested in advance of the crisis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your assertion is if they don't, the rubber band is going to snap back in the other direction and you're going to have this craziness all over again.
Absolutely. And we've seen it over and over and over. Yes, it was Y2K. We knew forever that year 2000 was coming, and no one dealt with pushing enough talent through the IT information systems. And then all of a sudden, in June of 1999, everyone was panicking. And you could spell information technology. You could get a job, and you were making $100 an hour. It was just so ridiculous. And I kept saying to myself, where were the HR people?
Right.
We knew the year 2000 was coming. So June of 1999, to put together labor plans and to develop talent was just stupid.
Right. Now, during the rough spot in the road economically, layoffs have a serious impact on employee morale, with guilt and actually resentment of the survivors.
For sure.
How can managers overcome some of these resentments? And do you have some coaching tips to make employees feel valuable again?
The number one coaching tip is so obvious. It's communicating with employees in an empathetic way. I've seen a number of companies say, well, let me pull employees together and tell them this is going to happen. We're going to have layoffs, and we're going to count on the rest of you all to be here. But employers haven't really thought about what it means. And you said something that was key just now.
Okay.
Oftentimes, what we hear is employers believe that the employees who remain after a layoff are the lucky ones. And the fact of the matter is, everything that we know and that we study tells us just the opposite. Because now the stress of, am I next?
Of course.
The person who sat next to me, who is my friend, is no longer here. So I have a sense of emotional loss.
Hmm.
And I have to pick up that person's work. So, right. You know, my 8-hour day has now become a 10-hour day. And lastly, mm-hmm. a significant number of companies last year didn't give merit increases or bonuses were smaller. And in some cases, they reduced base pay for people. So it's the perfect storm. I'm emotionally distraught because I just had a loss. I'm afraid that I'm going to be the next loss. You're not giving me more money, but you're asking me to do more work. That's really tough. And what I think a number of employers have not done is not only communicated to their employees in advance what is coming mm-hmm. and why the company has to make the decisions it has to make, but also done so in an empathetic way so that people feel like the company feels their pain.
Now, as work picks up again, organizations are going to be looking to hire new employees. How should managers and the human resource office be approaching this type of hiring process?
This is the time where I think smart employers are out finding talent. Some people call it recruitment. I call it talent acquisition.
Uh-huh.
Those groups should be large right now. They should be scouring the world, identifying the absolute best and brightest talent. These are people who 3 years ago you couldn't get because they were locked into their current employers, and with unemployment, what it was tough to find talent. Well, now many of those people are available, and even the ones who are not unemployed, they're either underemployed or unhappily employed.
Interesting.
This is an opportunity where the talent acquisition groups, the recruitment groups in major companies right now should be going out and finding talent. Now, you talk about the approach. It should be in the middle of all of this uncertainty. We're going to provide you some certainty. Now no one's returning your calls as opposed to 2 years ago when you weren't returning people's calls. Everything is different. This is the time to really go shopping for talent.
Okay. So just to be sure I understand you 100%, you're one of those true believers. The war for talent is coming.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you why. There are just some realities. We know that according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, by 2014, we're going to have roughly 5 million fewer workers mm-hmm. to occupy available jobs. We know the baby boomers are pushing through the system, and we knew that we had a baby boomer problem. You've heard people talking about it for the last 3 or 4 years. Well, 5 years from now, the economy is rebounding, and all of these people are going to push themselves out of the workplace, and we won't have sufficient talent to supply the needs. So there is really going to be a war. We're seeing it.
Right.
We're actually beginning to feel it now in certain critical areas. I was just recently meeting with the head of HR for an engineering firm. She said 70% of their engineering staff are within 4 years of retirement.
No kidding.
And let me tell you what's really interesting about that statistic.
All right, go ahead.
I have tons of friends who have mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, very tough discipline degrees, who are unemployed because the market's soft right now. We're in a bad economy. Their skills are just drying up. They're parking cars. They're really in the underemployed space, if not unemployed space. So they're out of the market. They're not working. And then all of a sudden, the economy roils back 5 years from now. We have a real problem because the people who do have the experience are going to be gone. And it's just going to be a really tragic situation if we haven't realized that that talent war is going to be crazy. A number of kids are not even going to engineering programs right now. So you're not even pushing new high school graduates into the college programs because they see their friends who are graduating don't have jobs in engineering. So they go do something else. There are certain critical areas. Nursing, with the healthcare issues that we have, for example, an aging population means more of a demand for healthcare.
Right.
And if we don't push more people through nursing programs and physician programs, particularly general practitioner and family practice and internal medicine programs, we are going to have an all-out war.
I agree with you, but don't you think a lot of people are reticent to make those commitments given so many of the major policies that are up in the air in Washington right now?
They are, and that's why this is not easy. There are so many questions.
Yeah.
Unemployment. Will Congress extend COBRA benefits? What will happen with the health care bill and the cost to employers? There's so many unknowns.
That's definitely true.
Notwithstanding all of that, with the level of lack of clarity going on in the workplace right now, workplace issues, the reality is HR people and business leaders have to make decisions and they have to plan for them.
Given the compression and cutting back of a lot of budgets for employee growth and training and development, what are some ways a company could stretch their employment development dollars right now?
The use of online technology is the number one opportunity. In the past, when times were better, we'd put people on planes and send them out to retreats, and they'd stay at nice hotels and golf and all of that good stuff. The reality is those days are gone for now. So using online technology to teach your employees or help them gather additional skills is really an opportunity, and I think it's an underutilized opportunity.
Absolutely.
The other thing is to really take advantage of shadowing and mentoring opportunities right there within an organization. There's not necessarily a need to send someone away to a training program when you can say, listen, you're in marketing right now, and one day you want to be in product development. Let me match you up with a senior product development person within our organization and have you shadow and learn and cross-train so that you can develop a set of skills. That's the best training anyway. It's on-the-job training, and you're going to make sure this person knows what you want them to know because you taught it to them your way. So those are two opportunities within the organization.
It's interesting you put online training at the top of the list. The AMA for the past 3 years has been investing more and more time and effort in programs such as this and our webcast and our webinar programs as well. Now, are there specific groups that managers and human resource departments should be targeting for development right now? Can you talk about that?
It's really not a one-shot. This is a multi-pronged approach. First of all, you're going to have to go into the minority communities where unemployment is double right now and begin to establish an employer presence so they see you as a welcomed employer when this market returns. So in your Latino and your African American and many of your Asian markets, less so, we should begin some initiatives to make inroads into those communities, not for the typical legal prevention or enforcement, affirmative action reasons, but because this is going to be a critical source of employment over time. You're going to have to start making some real outreach to these groups because they're going to be sources for you.
Right. Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. When I was head of HR for Paramount Pictures Live Entertainment Group, we ran these theme parks around the country. At that time, unemployment was 2 and 3%. We realized in the Bay Area, in particular for Paramount's Great America at that time, that we couldn't find sufficient talent to open our theme park outlets. And one day it just dawned on me, there's a place 30 miles from the city, albeit one of the minority communities, where you have a pocket of people where unemployment is double digits.
Yeah.
So we put together an initiative to bus people to come in and work the park. You would think this group with double-digit unemployment would rush for these jobs, but they didn't see us as a welcomed employer, and we hadn't extended ourselves into those communities to make those relationships, and it took us time.
Right.
Secondly, in the older populations, I grew up in South Florida, and there are large retirement villages. And so you ask yourself, who's going to work at that McDonald's in that neighborhood? Who's going to work at the Walmart there? There's an ample supply of talent right there in the neighborhood. No transportation problems. They know the people. They know the neighborhood. Why not start making inroads to those communities now?
Exactly. So it's about establishing a meaningful relationship and keeping the lines of communication open.
That's right, without a doubt. And I think the problem for employers right now is we're not extending ourselves into the colleges and universities because we don't have a place to put these people right now.
Right.
I've been on a couple of campuses to these job fairs, and there's no one there.
Right.
And it's partially because they would say to you, I don't have any jobs. And I would suggest to you that when the jobs come back, when you're going to need these students, the smart companies, those employers who were there and stayed throughout and at least kept relationships with the career services groups and met with students and did those small things are going to reap the benefits of this investment. And it's a modest investment while we're going through this economic downturn.
Johnny, in general, do you think it makes more sense for a company to foster growth from within, or is it in their best interest to just go out and get the best and the brightest people they can from outside?
On balance, when you groom your own talent, you have a much better likelihood of knowing what you bought. You already know they're good and they're bad. If you transfer them into another department or promote them, you at least know what you're bringing with you. But ultimately, it's a gamble when you hire someone.
Right.
But there's one caveat. You can't have an organization where it is just the same thought. So oftentimes we encourage ourselves to have a mix. if we're going to promote 10 or 12 people over the next year, we may do 60-70% of internal promotions, but we think it important to bring in fresh ideas, fresh perspectives, a different way of doing it. Google is only going to continue to dominate its competitors if it goes to the outside and picks up some folks from MSN, from Time Warner, Apple, or whomever.
Exactly.
The point is those other people bring a different perspective, or otherwise you run the temptation of getting into groupthink and you fail because you're not keeping up with what's going on in the world outside of your four walls.
We've been speaking to Johnny C. Taylor, Jr., author of The Trouble with HR, An Insider's Guide to Finding and Keeping the Best People. Johnny, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate you.
AMA training courses are now available direct to your desktop. Our virtual seminars deliver the power of AMA training without the travel, without time away from the office, but with the ability to catapult your skill set and career to new heights. For more information, visit amanet.org/virtual-seminars. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.